Indeed, anything but ordinary, huh? Which always reminds me of that wonderful line from the Fantastics, "Dear God, please don't make me normal." You know, I've lived in L.A. in two chunks. I moved here a very long time ago, then I moved away for 13 years, and then I moved back. And I was surprised in the time that I'd been away how little had changed. That there were still sort of the same empty lots at the corner of Olympic and La Cienega that there had been in 1982, and the same tired little storefronts. And since I've been here, a lot has changed very quickly. I don't know if anybody else is aware of this, but so much is changing in West Hollywood right now, and in Hollywood and on La Brea. I'm astonished that all of a sudden there seems to be all this activity. It's really kind of exciting. I know that there had been magnificent Christian Science churches in town, some which had been here since 1910, what's called the Third Church down in the West Adams district. And there was a grand Christian Science church in Beverly Hills and one in Hollywood. And all in the last 3 years, those have all folded. They've all changed hands, and now other denominations worship there. And there are stores that have come and gone, sad little stores like Lily St. Cyr, provocative underwear, is no longer on Santa Monica Boulevard, but trashy lingerie still is. Go figure. And restaurants have changed. I know. Say it isn't so, but like Jan's is gone, and Chasen's is gone, and the Palm is gone, and the French Market is closing on Tuesday. Say it isn't so. Here's the deal. The idea of comfort zone keeps coming to me a lot in a lot of different ways lately, so I guess it's up for me to keep exploring that. And I know in class the other night, maybe 2 weeks in a row, we were talking about the idea of comfort zone being really not comforting at all, and it's not a zone like a hospital zone. The comfort zone really is a prison. It's what you already are familiar and comfortable with, therefore are never invited to stretch or explore. A comfort zone is someplace that we retreat to. And sure enough, on occasion, that can be a good thing, like the French Market, which I've had so much fun for 30 years making fun of the French Market, for no good reason, just because I'm snarky. But, you know, we don't go there because of the quality of the food, nor for the exquisite service. Ever. But it's there. It's convenient. Even if you get abused by the waiter slash waitress slash whatever, it's there. It's the restaurant equivalent of not shaving and just showing up in your sweatpants, you know? Maybe there's a time and a place for it. I get that. I get that. And in all fairness, I will be going there after service today. And I will spend money that I could spend at a much better restaurant having a more gratifying experience. Nevertheless, I will be there today because I too am human. And sometimes you just don't want to be challenged. Sometimes you need something that's really mediocre to make you feel that you're actually doing pretty good in life. Okay. Hey. I get that. I get it. But that is not what we are here on this planet for, ultimately. And we have to be very aware. We have to be alert and conscious of when we do make a choice to seek comfort. And make sure that we're not there most of the time. But some of the time is always okay. Because as much as I understand about this experience of being on this planet, it is an invitation. And that's why I still love beginning this service with the invitation that Dr. Walker wrote that we recite. That life is an opportunity and you are invited. If you are alive, the invitation still stands. To expect the highest of yourself and expect the highest of what you know life to be. And even though it's not in the words of the invitation, to express the highest of what you know life to be. That's the opportunity that we have. And most of us require a framework within which to experiment, to work life, to live life. And I'm going to talk about a movie that I saw, which I don't think that I've ever done this, but it moved me so profoundly, it was like I discovered science of mind or the spiritual work all over again. And it's a movie called Seymour, an Introduction. It's only showing in three places in LA. It's down the street there. It's about a concert pianist named Seymour Bernstein who has spent the last 50 years as a teacher. And the actor Ethan Hawke met him at a dinner party and was so moved by this man's approach to teaching piano that he made a movie about this. If you see it, it may not be meaningful for you. But me at this moment in my life, and understanding that this planet is an opportunity not to compete, but to create. That man, I was so moved by the very presence, by this man's visage, his face, the way he speaks, the way he relates to students. It almost made me feel bereft that I did not play a musical instrument. But what he continually talks about is the practice of one's craft. And that it is as one practices one's craft that one learns to master all of life. But we begin where we are with our craft. That's going to be different for every one of us. And it's going to be different at different times of our life. Unless you do have a commitment to a specific art form which you are continuing to explore by means of being a writer or a dancer or a designer, an architect of some kind. For us, for practitioners here, we are our practice is prayer. Human beings, the essence of a human being is one's talent, is what you love doing. Whatever it is, whether you earn your living at it or not, is immaterial. Immaterial. That the essence of a human being, the essence of the human experience, how we get to experience our humanity in its fullest expression is through the practice of some craft. And have that craft be so important to us that it continually invites us beyond our comfort zone. What is astonishing to me, I mean, I literally started my work life in public philanthropy. And I ran a small grant making. It was very small. It was only about $1 million a year. But a small grant making division that was devoted to the crafts. And at that point, we were dealing mostly with people that were glassblowers and weavers and potters, but also industrial designers and blacksmiths and people who were stretching the boundary of a traditional craft. It's most moving to me that it has this word, craft, which in German means magic. Magic has been a constant in my whole life. Whatever you perceive your craft to be, it might be a good neighbor. See, it doesn't have to be something that you make money at. It doesn't have to be something that requires that you have gear or equipment or a certain amount of space. The only space you need is here. You already have that. But that we fall in love with something, some part of being a human being that continually invites us to stretch beyond our comfort zone. Even as some place like Chasen's or the French Market closes, there are so many fine but tiny restaurants that are finally coming to L.A. It's pretty much the way it's been even in Nashville and in Seattle for the last 20 years. But finally, there's this switch happening, which is so great. So our expectation, John Gilliton is a pizza maven, and he turned me onto a place right on Santa Monica Boulevard. It's beyond belief. Beyond belief how fine this pizza dough is. I mean, we're all, so many of us in all these different disciplines, are now asking to reintroduce the notion of real quality in our lives. It's been a long time coming. But I really do see it now on the Village High Street. I see it popping up everywhere, and this is good. So is it popping up on your Village High Street? Is it popping up in your everyday activity? Is a sense of quality governing your interactions with people that you know and strangers that you don't know yet? Are you making a demand on yourself to be fully present wherever it is you are? Because there's no more important spiritual practice than that. To be fully aware of where I am and how am I showing up. And am I putting a positive charge into this environment while you're waiting online at whatever environment that works your last nerve? Or am I contributing to the general sorrow of the experience at the Department of Motor Vehicles? It's all choice-based. And that was so charming. Whose phone was that? It's all choice-based. And it all matters. It all adds up to creating a mental and a spiritual environment, if you will, but a mental environment which pays off in being a place where you want to live, where you want to be. That's all this is really about, you know. Disembarrassing ourselves from the worthless preoccupations that so much of life's everyday activities seem to add unto us. Letting them go, ignoring them. You know, when Jesus says the poor, they will always be with us, I don't think it's an issue of poverty, because as I began this service, as long as someone's praying for you, you're not in poverty. But the cranky will always be with us. The low-quality experience will always be something you can choose. But will you choose better? Will you choose more? Will you choose to work with people where you get that being together in whatever commercial enterprise is going on could be a life-defining moment for you, could be a life-changing experience for them? I had a big healing when I moved to Seattle. I came away with a series of life experiences feeling fairly disappointed in medicine as it is practiced in America. I have prejudices. I think that nurses are just angels, and doctors, as a rule, need to learn some manners. But when I got to Seattle, I encountered a practitioner, a doctor, who healed my crankiness around that. He was a miracle. And I needed that experience so I could see how outrageous I was being in my willingness to go, doctors, bad, nurses, perfect. How silly is that? Yeah, I had a couple of experiences. Who doesn't? But a spiritual practice is going to allow me always to show up and take people one-on-one to get rid of these broad generalizations which serve no one, most of all me, for holding them, and to really assume responsibility for the quality of the experience that I want to have, no matter what environment I'm going to find myself in. To be able to really practice a craft is up for all of us. It's simply what you choose. Many of us will choose that, or do choose that, as the work that we do. Whether you're an accountant, a realtor, it simply does not matter what world you're in. But everything is an opportunity to practice your craft of presence, quality of mind, willingness to be of service, knowing that the more we put into life, we have every expectation of receiving that much more in kind in the long run. If we look for that in every single transaction, we'll find reason to be disappointed. But in the long run, that is a guarantee. That is a guarantee. The point of defining any practice, no matter what it would be for you, is to give yourselves a tool that you have chosen, that you can use, that will always be helping us redefine and elevate our ambition in life. It's a tool that helps us cultivate our desire for good and true. A practice gives us a means of becoming a better self, and therefore be part of creating a better world. And really, isn't this what we all want? Of course. If you thought that somebody was going to do it for you, you have already realized that ain't happening, and that's why you're here. I know that about everybody. That is one thing that we have in common. So again, I invite you, spend this week really deciding what is it that you're going to continue to practice. What part of your life, what part of your day? Because, you know, this just goes beyond reading an affirmation or lighting a candle or doing any of that. There's no investment in those activities. That's why, for the most part, they don't pay off. Because they require nothing of us. So what is it of you, of your day, of yourself, of your character, are you going to say, you know, that is the craft of me that I'm going to be consciously practicing? And define the leading edge of that. You know, it's not a quantifiable goal, but it is a qualitative, I'd use those words incorrectly, quantifiable and qualifiable. Qualitative is correct. It's not a quantity, it's a quality. That's what I mean. How are you going to know if you're being invited out of your comfort zone by your practice? I will know that when I am here, I feel this, I'm having this conversation, I'm doing such and such. Only you can make this choice. You can make this choice while you're here. And that's why I still think this is one of the most important things we can do for each other, is to show up in an environment on a regular basis, knowing while I'm here, I'm going to be my most beautiful, fabulous self. So people can look at me and wonder, what have they got going on in their life? And break me off a piece of that. It's just that they made a choice. A choice to be happy. A choice to spend this time in this environment in being fearless, joy-filled, generous, and welcoming of life. Everybody can do this. You can do this. And here's the upside. You can't fail. Because we are practicing a science of mind, if you will. Every moment is an experiment. And so experiment. See the results. And keep moving in the direction of your good. God bless you, friends. I surely appreciate you.